Real 61. This was the second time you'd retired from the army, as it were.
Yes.
How did it go the second time?
Oh, it was great because I arrived down in Cornwall in this old farmhouse, and it was really hadn't been lived in for 8 years, and there were slates off the roof, there was mildew on the wall, and big mushrooms, and all that, and the floors were big slate squares. But we looked at it, and my wife said, "We can do something with this," and we did. It was a beautiful house when we finished it, and the grounds were. There'd been no garden there. There'd been a field at the back, little field where they used to let the calves run. There was a little stable in the corner, and there was another thing where they used to do the rick yard, another field at the back, just over 2 acres. And we had two big barns high, with a yard, and there were barns either side. And they were long barns. I think they must have been about stretching 25 yards, thick solid walls and slate roof, and I had those all came in with the house, and I dug the whole garden by hand, and all the fields were absolutely thick with blackthorn, because that had not been used, and bramble, thick bramble about 3 inches round. So I had to dig everything up, all the roots up, and have big bonfires, get rid of the sun, dug everything up. But the time after about 12 months, I had beautiful gardens, loads of heathers, loads of azaleas, rhododendron, and then I started on the other side to grow fruit. Black currants, red currants, cherries, and the whole thing after a couple of years, you know, it was like a little paradise, and that kept me busy doing it. I also had the two barns, and a friend of mine in the village had cows, and I used to allow him to put his cattle throughout the winter in my barns, and above them was all the lofts for the hay and straw, and he used to fill them up with straw and hay, and I used to say, "Right, leave it to me, I'll look after them." I used to look after these cattle all through the winter. Never got paid, because I didn't want paying. I said, "If you pay me, I'll stop doing it, because I'm doing this because I enjoy doing it. I'm under no obligation to you because I'm being paid, but I enjoy doing it." And I used to do all this and loved it. I had all the manure I wanted for the garden, and any time I wanted any milk, I could get it. And then further down the road, about 200 yards away, another friend of mine put up a shed, and he used to rear calves, about 50 at a time. And I used to go down at 7 o'clock in the morning and see them doing it. And then at 7 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock at night, I used to go and feed them again. I'd say, "John, I'll do this. You needn't come." And so I used to rear his calves. And again, I didn't want money for it. I didn't get paid. You know, they were friends and I enjoyed it. And as I say, money didn't mean anything. I had all the stuff I was growing. I used to grow so much food and used to give so much away. And as I say, it was an ideal life. And I used to raise about 50 calves every 12 weeks, so on the bottle and then bring them on. And these people said, "All right, well, can I pay you?" "No, no, I don't want paying. You know, if I want the day off, I'll tell you to come and do it." And so that's the way we used to work.
Did you miss the army?
Not really. Not really, because by then I'd sort of, I think had I left straight from a regiment in Germany, I think then I would have missed it. But I'd sort of come slowly down to there was, to the last job I was doing, which was a bit boring really, tedious, So I didn't miss that.
Tailing off.
I was tailed off. So, and then going back to something which kept me occupied. I mean, I used to be up at 6 in the morning and digging, and then we used to go to bed till late at night. I had to spend most of the time in the garden. You know, so it was, I was fully occupied. And I used to have all my friends come down, because being in Cornwall, they said, oh, yes. And so I had lots of my, General Robin came down, Matt Abraham came down, and sort of people would come. And we were always having guests come and stay with us.
So able to keep in touch.
Yes. Mm. So it was a good life for us. And well, we thoroughly enjoyed it, but we were isolated. It was a little hamlet where we were at first when we went down there. Nobody else lived there at all, and there were some cottages, and then somebody bought them and started putting holidaymakers in. And there was a house next door that had belonged to a quarry manager, and that had been empty for years. And then someone moved in there, and but before that, we were completely isolated. But then, as we got older, we started thinking, well, you know, it's time we got closer to somebody. And because the nearest hospital was at Truro, which was 30 miles away. The other one was at Plymouth, which was 40 miles away, and Exeter, 60 miles away. And it was the same road every time to it. And so then we... Right, we'll think about moving. So we sold the two barns to somebody who then sold them on again at a considerable profit to a builder who turned the barns into three houses. Six houses, rather.
Three each side.
And we'd sold the land behind with them so they could build garages. And so I was getting to the stage, really, where there was then six houses suddenly appeared with children, dogs, cats, and that was all. So we thought, well, that we were going to move, but this hastened us to move. And the local doctor always wanted my house. And as soon as I put it on the market, he was there the next day, said, I'll have it. And but it was a lovely old house, with solid walls about 2 foot thick, at least. And as you came in the door, there was a well, a beautiful well. It was outside when I first got the property, but then I
enclosed it
into the porch and put a glass top on it, and it had a tremendous depth. And then you could see the rock at the bottom and the beautiful clear water. And that was quite a feature. And also they had an old fireplace. The great stone, because it had been the old, it was built on the site of the old manor house, so it had quite a bit of history to the place. But as I say, we had some wonderful times there, so we still kept in touch with so many people in the regiment.
Recently, we went on a visit to Tunisia with other old members of the regiment, the old comrades. Did you find that revived your memory of what had happened in 1943?
Yes. It was always there.
It was always there.
It was always there, but this sort of... I could then look and say, oh, I remember that place. I remember that. One place in particular, I always had in my mind, I could always see it, behind that hill, the name of the first hill we went to.
Tajera Kea.
That's right. At the side of that, there was a sandy patch, a triangular type patch that ran into the hill from the road.
Yes.
And I always remember that because it was there where the sergeant's, RE sergeant, had his car had hit a mine. And they'd come down overnight and booby trapped it, so he was killed there.
When he went back to get him.
He went back. Mm-hmm. And it was always in my mind, but when we went past it in the...
Land cruisers.
I saw it, and that was exactly as I remembered it. That was one, and the hill that I climbed, I remember too vividly. And lots of the other land, I couldn't sort of figure it. One other place was near the Tobago Gap.
Yes.
Where we went to, where we met the Americans. I remembered that sort of, that area, and could see it, as I remember it's like when I went along, because I was on my own at that time. And also the place at Low Corleen.
Yes.
That I remembered quite well. More or less within a few hundred yards of where my armoured car was. And also a bit further back where I'm pretty sure where that tank that I saw destroyed. And I'm certain I could see that area, and sort of, I'm certain that's where it was.
It was familiar to you?
Yes.
Did you find that looking at the ground brought back any incidents into your mind that you had forgotten, any events that you hadn't mentioned?
No, I don't think so. No. Because I think, with a, as I used to have keep a little jot down in my diary about different things, that would then, I could remember it straight away.
Trigger your memory.
And so I don't think I had forgotten anything. Whether if we'd have gone to Libya and come up that way, because there was so much happened in Libya. You know, as many times more happened in Libya than it did in Tunisia. And that's, I'd love to go back there. And,
that might be a bit difficult.
That would be difficult. Yeah, but it would have been nice to have been able to have done that.
Looking back on your long connection with the army, what do you think are the benefits of army life?
Well, it's not everybody's cup of tea, is it?
I was going to ask you also whether there are any disadvantages to army life, well, to balance it up.
I loved every bit of it. It makes a man of you, because when I went in, I was completely naive, as I think I told you, when all my equipment was taken from me, 17-year-old, and sort of being told, and I've been in the army 3 years, it's about time you had a shave. Although I don't shave. But I think it was a great life. It made a man of you. It gave you responsibility, and it taught you how to get on with people. You had to get on with people. If you didn't, well, you were ostracized. So you were... It taught you that. It taught you pride. And if you're with a regiment, like the 12th Lancers was, there's a tremendous amount of pride. And, it's great to be a soldier. And, of course, being thrown in at the deep end in wartime, it gave you tremendous experience, which you'd never get anywhere else. It's, I wouldn't trade my memories anything else. I wouldn't want to have done anything else in wartime than what I did. I think I was very fortunate. I mean, I was very lucky a number of times, that how I wasn't killed or not, I just don't know. There must have been somebody looking after me out there. But I think it was a wonderful life.
What is it, do you think, that makes soldiers go back into action when they've been very close to death or serious injury?
I think you don't think of that. When you've been shot at and things, and you've been very close to being killed, you sort of brush it off. And because there's so much to be done straight away, you get caught up in it straight away. You don't have time to think. There are times when you start getting doubt. I think, and I told you, when we were being bombed day after day, that, you started getting so that you were very nervous and think you could sort of give up. And you have to then sort of fight that and say, right, I mustn't give up like this. Do something. And if an opportunity occurs when you can do something, then from then on, you've conquered it.
Where does that reserve come from, that reserve of will that makes you carry on when you're really
I think when you've been with the regiment for so long and you're training, and And the feeling, I think, that you mustn't let your friends down. That you've got to do this, because if you didn't do it, your friend's life might be on the line.
They'd be at risk.
That's right. So therefore, I think that's what, in a good regiment, that binds people together. And, you know, you risk your life every day in an armoured car regiment. But if you didn't, then your friends could be in, and they did the same for you. And that was what makes a great team. And I think we had a great team in the Trollope Horses. I think I was very fortunate all the time. The time when I used to be a bit frightened, I used to be frightened a lot of times. And nobody, only an idiot would say he was never frightened. But lots of times I used to say a prayer. I used to be there and I thought, well, am I going to survive this? And you just pray. So nobody could say they weren't frightened or terrified at times. The times when I was a bit more frightened than other times is when we'd been in action, came back, and say had a month out the line, refitting or what, and then you went back in. Then you were very jumpy. The shell would land and you'd jump a mile and that sort of thing. It wasn't until you'd been back 2 or 3 days and then you got back to your thing that the shell would drop, and you didn't ignore it completely, but didn't make you jump.
But that's just because you got used to it again.
You got used to it again. Mm-hmm. And that was the time I used to hate, going back in after being out for so long. While you were in, you were quite happy to get on with it. And although you were happy to get back into the peace and quiet, but that was the time when that was a little bit more frightening.